just 8 months after the first abdication of King Michael I of Romania and the proclamation of the People's Republic on 30 December 1947, the Academy of Religious Music, part of the Bucharest Academy of Music and Dramatic Art, today the National University of Music in Bucharest, was disestablished through the implementation of the new Stalinist reform for Romanian education. Together with that prestigious institution, 40 schools for church cantors and Orthodox theological seminaries were also abolished, not to mention similar schools for Catholic, Union, Protestant, Jewish, and other faiths, leaving just 2 Orthodox theological institutes in Bucharest and Sibiu and 6 seminaries. This caused the teaching of monotic chant in the Romanian Orthodox Church to be drastically reduced. It survived in part through all psalters or chanters who were in part of monotic choir singing in the few churches and monasteries that still promoted Byzantine chant. It is self-evident that the teaching of this art was also bereft, as it was achieved at an empirical and metamorphosed level by recourse to the joint chanting of all those taking part in religious services and, above all, the local Orthodox Church's institutional promotion of a single, reduced, and simplified repertoire, a process known as uniformization of church music. But things didn't stop there. Almost a decade after the abolition of the Academy of Religious Music, following a decree passed in 1958, the Communist Party began a purge of the young from the Orthodox monastic space. More than 100 monasteries and convents were closed, and monks and nuns younger than 40 were forced to give up the contemplative life and to go to work in factories or take other jobs useful for society, thereby actively contributing to the construction of socialism. It is self-evident that the decree in question further interrupted and transmission of this art and imperiled in survival in the Romanian Orthodox Church, an institution which, in comparison with other denominations, enjoyed a certain degree of tolerance on the part of the regime, although the price for this was obedience to the party and vocal approval of its policies. If this was the practical side of the situation of sacred chant in Romania, the side of musicological research was entirely supervised by a lay institution called the Criticism and Musicology Bureau of the Society of Romanian Composers, which along Soviet lines became the Union of Composers and of the People's Republic of Romania, and which is now the Union of Composers and Musicologists of Romania. In the new political context, Matei Sokol, whom the communist regime appointed president of the institution in 1949, together with other opportunists, laid down the new ideological direction for Romanian music, thereby becoming the party's principal exponent in relation to the musical community. Employing to all too familiar rhetoric of the time, Sokol claimed that Western music was undergoing a process of decadence, that Paul Hindemith proclaimed in Mysticism, and that Olivier Messiaen composed music that expressed the end of the world. In other words, music that was pessimistic and consequently formalist. Since nor did he overlook Romanian composers, see, for example, the case of Paul Constantinescu, who along with other national composers had brought to Romanian music the sound of the funeral dirge and the akathist, we may conclude that Romanian music and musicology was engaged in the same force march to devastating political utopianism as the other communist bloc countries. Statistically, in the transition period from 1945 to 1964-65, musicological writing with overtly religious subject matter was in effect non-existent. The subject, a taboo and officially banned by the totalitarian ideology, was mentioned only obliquely and camouflaged under the cover of the wide-ranging topic of critical valorization of the native musical past, always being presented in a musicological discourse that had to coincide with that of the party, thereby becoming an ideological weapon and tool in the service of the regime. The following is one such example. Speaking about the exhibition of musical archives held between 24 June and 8 July 1951 at the Gheorghe Dima Conservatory in Cluj, which aim to display the rich musical heritage of Transylvania, musicologist Stefan Lakatos, citing Lenin, who repeatedly argued for the importance of ancient sources, and Zhdanov, who demonstrated the importance of musical tradition, was able in this way to comment on the content of the exhibition using a terminology extraordinary in its frankness, constantly referring to the religious and the ecclesiastical. Besides other documents that were laid in content, the article reviews a host of religious parchments, incunabula codices, and printed works in Latin, Greek, Romanian, Hungarian, and German from the Catholic, Orthodox, and Protestant liturgical traditions, musical monuments which prove that despite bourgeois-led urban machinations, different nations joined hands in the musical field, creating spiritual bonds between themselves through mutual understanding of each other's cultures. The feeling of an apparent abandonment of the practices of social Israelis, which subtly hinted at after the death of the Stalin in 1953, and more obviously after the Third Congress of the Romanian Workers' Party in 1960, when the President of the Republic, Gheorghe Gheorghiu-Dej, declared, "The party's historic mission is to achieve the national goals of the Romanian people," created the illusion of cultural liberalization and a relative ideological flexibility. The same as Romanian culture as a whole, the musical world reflected the political changes of the time. In 1954, Matei Socozu was replaced by Ion Dumitrescu as head of the Union of Composers. The following year, the Union set up its own publishing house, the only musical imprint in Romania. And in 1958, it adopted the new resolution in musical matters passed by the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. Despite the adoption of positive measures, the creative plans and building sites of the Union of Composers continued to be made in the light of the documents of the Congresses of the Romanian Workers' Party. The same as other publications in the field, Musica Magazine, established in 1950 as the official organ of the Union, remained highly politicized, and the concept of the Cultural Revolution, then in its early phases, translated into intensive visits to the country factories by cultural activists, culminating with the establishment of the Workers' University of Musical Culture in the autumn of 1959. In parallel and under the same cover of valorizing the musical heritage of the past, musicological writings made veiled references to subversive subjects, the history of musical modes, which inevitably had to include the Byzantine and the Gregorian, musical education in Wallachia, and some schools of Celtic music in other regions of the country. It is important to know that in a report on the huge leap made by our musicology in the years since the liberation, that means 1944, a leap inconceivable under different historical circumstances, Zenovancha, the representative of the specialist section of the Union of Composers, called on experts in the new historical musicology to join the effort to clear the ground in the as yet little study areas on our own music and to create the necessary technical instruments for research. Even mentioning the achievement in the field of Byzantine music made by Ioan Petrescu, an expert whom we shall discuss below. In relation to the subject under discussion, by far the most important achievement was the publication in 1955 of the collection of lay and religious music entitled The Hospital of Love or The Singer of Longing, to mark the centenary of the death of Anton Pan. Anton Pan was a very important musicologist from the mid-19th century. The event was preceded by a concert of vocal and instrumental music and a lecture given by George Greazu, in which the celebrated musicologist evoked not only the life of Anton Pan, but also the wide-ranging ideas of his musical and literary, religious and lay works, which are full of patriotic inspiration. As may easily be imagined, the volume in question was not published under its original title, but rather one that fit the new ideological requirements, worldly songs. In the chapter on oral musical traditions as sources for composers, in her book analyzing Romanian music between 1944 and 2000, Romanian music after 1944, Valentina De, which is here, observed that the Byzantine sources, which is never referred to as religious or ecclesiastical, came to be tolerated after 1965 in the context of the promotion of the policy of national specificity and interests within the communist bloc, as well as progressive reorientation towards the West. Let this be said in passing that this tolerance also seems to have come from the incompetence of the official censors, who had neither the musical culture nor the professional aptitude to detect religious sources in musical source. The same ideological relaxation can be observed in regard to musicological writings whose obvious subject was Byzantine music, which began to be tolerated with a certain degree of regularity after 1964, and in particular after 1965. Since every meeting of the Union specialist sections insisted on greater professionalization, opposite effect of course, from 1966 it began to organize musicological seminars on topical subjects in step with the demands of the society. Valorization of the heritage of the composers and musicologists of the past, humanist and socialist culture, humanist and musical culture, aspects of musical culture in the territory of 18th century Romania, and so on and so forth. Another positive fact was the organization in 1967 of the first international symposium of musicology at the George Enescu International Festival, attended by leading experts such as Ioan Petrescu. In parallel, the Union organized recitals of works by composers formerly banned, such as American composer Charles Ives, and invited foreign contemporary musicians to give lectures, including Anthony Lewis from England and Dr. Harold Bowles from Austria. One sign that the Communist Party encouraged the work of the Union was the attendance of its new chairman, Nicolae Ceaușescu, at the General Assembly of Romanian Composers and Musicologists in 1968. Unlike later in his rule, it is well known that in this early period, in addition to writers and artists, Ceaușescu used to be accompanied by two or three composers and musicologists during his working visits. Although it was not new, it seemed that after 1965, the party's deft cultural strategy of making a tool appeal to competence and national values, to reaffirmation of national identity and the heritage of the past in the international context, a practice more or less shared by every country of the communist world in this period, bore unexpected fruit. Thereafter, the studies in musicology periodical was to have summary in French, the official language of the Union. Whole volumes of musicology, including some on religious subjects, were published in bilingual editions, Romanian French or Romanian English, or even translated in their entirety, while others were written directly in a foreign language, such as Ida Petrescu monumental 677-page study, Etude Paleographie Musicale des Antons. More often than not, four words and tables of contents were translated into a number of foreign languages, as in the case of Victor Giuliano's excellent Byzantine Melodies, whose table of contents is given Romanian, French, Russian, German, and English. The party's strategy of international openness also included the organization of the 14th International Congress of Byzantine Studies in Bucharest in 1971, an event that also had a section dedicated to the sacred music of the Eastern Church. Alongside Romanian researchers, major names in Byzantine musicology and philology from all over the world presented papers whose subject also in a table included Romanian musical past. Jürgen Hoste from Denmark, Jana Konchova from Bulgaria, Danica Petrovic and Dimitri Stefanovic from Belgrade. Yeah. Okay. As Western academic interest in certain topics of Romanian medieval music coincide with its policy of national promotion, the party facilitated access to Romania's archives for foreign researchers and even reprinted or translated into Romanian their articles and sometimes books. Romanian researchers gained increasing visibility in the West as they were encouraged to publish in foreign languages, not only in the journals of the Union or the research institutes of the Academy of the Socialist Republic of Romania, but also in international periodicals such as Journal of Musicology and Studies in Istocean. In addition, all music ensembles and specialist young and old were given financial support via the Union of Composers to take part in symposia festivals and congresses held in Holland, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Austria and United States, Belgium and elsewhere. Scholarships and grants were provided for researchers not only in Romania and the other communist countries, but also countries contaminated by definition in Greece, in France, West Germany, Austria and even in the United States. I believe that one of the most spectacular and incredible musicological research expeditions undertaken during Romania's totalitarian period was that made by Professor Sebastian Barbu Bucur, who between 1942 to 1986, for 4 years, examined the Romanian musical manuscripts in the Byzantine tradition that are kept at Mount Athos. Just 2 decades earlier, Sebastian Barbu Bucur, then a young monk, had been evicted from his monastery by the one party state, and while a student at the conservatory, he had been expelled on handing out crucifixes to his fellow students. This is the title that allowed the Union of Composers to publish important works on old Romanian music. Politically supported and encouraged precisely because it tackled the sensitive subject of the centuries-long traditions of the Romanian people, the project, initiated by the Bureau of the Criticism and Musicology section and planned to run for at least 20 volumes, sought to demonstrate the variety of Romania's cultural and musical past. It permitted the albeit partial recovery of not only instrumental music and vocal literatures, but also religious musical codices, both Byzantine and Gregorian. As part of the sources and following the model of the prestigious Danish publication founded in 1935 by Carsten Høeg, a group of researchers headed by Gheorghe Ciobanu and Petrus Moisescu founded a series of Byzantine music unique in Central and Eastern Europe. The three directions of the series, Monumenta, with Documenta, Transcripta, and Studia, enabled extensive publication of analysis and transcription of major musical codices from the Romanian tradition, in which there were two major themes: the musical school of Unna and the process of Romanianization of Cem, that means translation and adaptation in Romanian of the Greek liturgical texts. But let us not believe that the positive aspects described above were unbroken and without incidents. As I have already mentioned, musicologists were not allowed to employ terms such as religious music or ecclesiastical music. Rather, they had to employ Byzantine, Cem, Gregorian music or medieval music sources, while Christmas music was referred to as the music of the winter holidays. But the censorship was even more drastic when the liturgical text included names such as God, the Mother of God, Jesus, and Holy Ghost. This either had to be removed from the text or else the text itself had to be omitted. In the glory years of the Ceausescu regime, the strategy for eluding the vigilance of the censor was to include at the beginning of the study an older or more recent quotation, but usually a more recent one, from a speech by the beloved President of the Republic on the subject of education or the culture of the homeland. Then the author would abruptly plunge into his subject, but taking care to pigment his research with brief texts from the party congresses. Musicologist Cornelu Buiescu, a former member of the editorial board of Editura Musicală, Musical Publishing House, recounted to me the following astonishing situation. The political representatives of the publishing house once insisted that the biography of a volume of musicology include works by Nicolae Ceaușescu. And then the index should begin with letter C from Ceaușescu rather than A. And this was by no means an isolated case in place of a conclusion. Undoubtedly, the major field in which Romanian musicology excelled under the Tamnis dictatorship was research into archaic oral traditions, folk music, and Byzantine music. As a niche subject which could at any time be held to be a grave ideological offense, through a series of strategies, Byzantine music took advantage of the ideas and ideals of the party, exploiting them to a novel and particularly in the period after 1965-1970. The professionalism of such research, the value that international academic work placed on the achievements of Romanian researchers, and the extent to which Western interest in the field became topics of research in Romania are questions that require more detailed and nuanced answers. Beyond the irregularities of the system and the greater or lesser compromises that were made, the balance sheet was predominantly positive for a field which in some communist countries could not even be mentioned. In an article from 1988 on Byzantine musicological research worldwide, Dan Tuliatos said, "Romania has an active group of scholars producing a steady flow of research and granting significant space to Romanian research in the field." In 1995, Titus Moisescu, who was a member of the board of Musical Publishing House for more than 30 years and was even its director for a time, compiled statistics on the works it published between 1957, and 1989. More than 2,400 titles, of which more than 800 were works of musicology, more than 160 of them dealing with Byzantinology. And if we add those that were publishing as well, then the total is more than 550, of which more than 85, 90 maybe, were bilingual or written in a foreign language. The above statistic leads me to believe that of all the branches of musicology, research into Byzantine music in communist Romania was paradoxically the field that enjoyed the greatest promotion, transparency, and interest at the international level. Thank you.